Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Happy New Year. Everyone, it's been a while. It's been so long. I forgot I had a podcast.
It's been a while
since I have recorded a podcast with my friends. It's been a while since I've talked to Andrew. I mean, honestly, Noah and I usually text, and that's how we stay in touch when we're not doing the podcast. And sometimes we talk, but mostly it's text. And Andrew, when we're not doing the podcast, I live with you and I'm traveling with you and we're constantly in communication. I have not talked to you at all.
Radio silence. Pretty much radio silence. Yeah.
I mean, maybe we've sent each other one text every 5 days or something. And I haven't seen you since before Christmas.
I saw you in between me seeing Brenna's parents and then me going to Florida for an hour.
We had a little bit of, like an hour of a hang. So it's been a while. I'm in Los Angeles. Andrew is in St. Louis.
Thing?
Yeah, it's been a while. Mahalo. Fuck.
I just had dyslexia.
Mahalo is thank you.
Aloma.
Bill Maher had a joke. I was with Bill Maher.
Bill Mahalo?
In Hawaii, and he had a good joke that was like, aloha in Hawaii is hello or goodbye, and mahalo in Hawaii is thank you or fuck you.
I like it, Bill. So like tell me all of, tell, all right, let's get into Hawaii, shall we?
Why don't we do like each get to ask burning desire questions for each other, okay, about each other's texts.
I have so much shit that happened. It's like wild. Like, I don't even know where to start, but
okay,
yeah.
Wait, why don't we do, instead of questions, why don't we do the top three things of note, each of us? And that includes you, Noah, because I'm not you were living life too.
Okay.
So let's go round robin.
So there's top three, no bottom three.
No, we got to do, let's do a top one, bottom one, vacation. Boom.
Top three,
that'll get us
three,
into
vacation.
It. No. Top one, bottom one. Vacation. And we're doing this just on the fly.
Okay.
Let's start. We always start with bottom. I hate to start on a negative note for the new year, but it feels like, you know, we're going to end on a positive note. So we're really starting off on a good one. It is 2022. I'm feeling 22. And you want to get
half. Oh, yeah. Feeling 20. I've been listening to a lot of Taylor. I can't escape Taylor, by the way, because Brenna's a fucking Taylor head. But that's not my bottom.
Hold on. No, before we get to the top one, bottom one, now I'm getting distracted because you bring up Taylor, and I can't just let that slide. What song is now in your head mostly? Which one are you really feeling right now? Because like most Taylor Swift heads, and by the way, I've done a lot of Swiftie concerts over the break with my dad, and then I took a hiatus, and then yesterday I went live on our Instagram and had a little fun, and a lot of comments saying, like, I wasn't a Swiftie until you, Nikki. Thank you for getting me into her. I want to just warn you, if you're breaking into Swiftie, if you're becoming a new Swiftie, you're going to have romances with different songs that you hear upon first listen, you go, I'm never even going to care about the song. And then all of a sudden, one day it hits you like a freight train, and you can't get it out of your head, and you go, I love this is my favorite song. So the other day, Chris, my lover, was like, he sometimes puts on Taylor Swift just to get me in a good mood. Like if I'm in a bad mood, he'll just put it on. You do that too, Andrew. Everyone in my life who knows and loves me knows to do that. And he was like, he has some favorite Taylor Swift songs, which I'm like so excited about because he hasn't told me that. He's like, actually, 1989 is like kind of a, it's a fucking great album, and he's really into a couple songs. I'm like, oh my God, tell me which ones you love. And he goes, I feel kind of embarrassed, like, that sometimes if I put on a song, like, you're going to be a Taylor Swift song, you're going to be like, oh, this one sucks. And I'm like, oh, there's no song we don't love. And he goes, I love how you say we, and you're talking about Swifties. And that's really how I feel about being a Swiftie, is like, we all agree there's no bad songs. There's just ones we don't like as much as the others, but we love them all. So, that being said, Andrew, what is your new favorite Taylor Swift song?
Top one Taylor Swift song is, the one that I've heard a lot is Dorothea. Dorothea.
That's Brenna's.
Yes.
Hey,
so
Dorothea, do you ever stop and think about me?
About me.
Do you know it's about Selena Gomez, allegedly?
It's weird because Brenna says when she hears that song, she thinks of me. So maybe my kidneys are failing.
Dorothea. It's about her friend who is like famous now. And like, it's not really
Is Dorothea the female name for Andrew?
Is it? No, Andrea.
Andrea. Okay, sorry, forgot about that name.
Dorothea.
Whoa.
Oh my God, you're so cute, Noah. A million people died in 9/11.
That was
just going to be the new, you're so off, but that was a great attempt.
Okay,
like, that's, we just say a million people died in 9/11.
I just thought Drew, Dorothea. I don't know why.
You know what?
You're
not wrong, and sometimes it is like that weird of a, original word. So Dorothea, though, is, anyway, it's a great song. It's on
like the
Evermore.
Male name for Nikki is Dave. Right,
you're right, that is the original. It's the Gaelic version of Nicole. Andrew, so you're listening to Dorothea a lot. Okay, tell me your top, or tell me your bottom moment of your trip.
This is heavy.
You know, you can. Oh, okay.
We're starting.
Noah,
heavy.
Are you ready to carry this heaviness?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Brenna and I saw a man die on New Year's, and it wasn't even dark yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, I do know that you on Instagram had said that I read at like, you know, 1 p.m. my time, Hawaii, that you were already in bed. You had saw a man throw up into a
trash can and
Brenna
said,
threw up because Brenna. She saw him die.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, she threw up from seeing a man die?
It was wild. You want me to tell you the story?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, so we were in West Palm Beach.
Wait, let's get back to Taylor Swift. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That made me throw up in the garbage.
Yeah, okay.
So we're listening to Taylor, and this guy gets shot in the face. No, I'm just
oh my
playing.
God.
Just kidding. No,
just kidding.
No, so it's New Year's Eve. We were just going to like go over to my brother's. I was like, you know what? Let's go get appetizers and hang out outside and look over the water and actually enjoy Florida a little bit. Because there was a lot of stress with my mom, a lot of this, whatever. There were a lot of ups and downs from the trip. Mm-hmm. I take her to this bar that I used to go to where I used to throw up all the time and, you know, get kicked out of. And it was called Bradley's. And,
oh, did we lose him?
Yeah, we just lost him. While we're getting Andrew back, maybe we can keep this in. What do you think they saw? How do you think this man died? Predictions.
Heart attack. Just like instant.
I don't think that would make her cry. I think it's something gruesome. And he did say we were listening to Taylor Swift and then a man got shot in the face. And I think he was joking. But I also think he's not capable of coming up with something that fast that didn't happen. So I think they saw someone get shot in the face.
You think there was truth?
I hope not.
Or maybe like get hit by a truck.
It's got to be something gruesome. Have you ever seen someone get like a gruesome like human body thing?
Not a human. I saw a kitten get run over by a car.
Oh, that's
it traumatized me.
Oh, wait, when?
You really want the story?
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome. I was...
trigger warning. People can skip ahead.
Okay. I was driving and I was several feet away from the car in front of me. And I saw a kitten run into the street right under the tire of the car. And only its head got smushed.
No!
It like, you know, because of the spine and stuff, it like jumped up and just died.
So it died instantly.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
But body was still moving.
Dude, whenever I see an animal run out,
my heart stops. Does yours?
Anyone, but you know, you rarely see it. I mean, I hit a man with a car one time, which is a story for another time. Twice, actually, I've hit a man with a car. But Andrew, we're trying to guess what you saw.
When you went in reverse?
Dude, that's so funny. That's so funny. And it reminds me of your friend Diamond.
This is the same joke. I thought of the same thing. I love your brain. What you gonna call it? Sorry,
that's the old Diamond. He says it once when he goes over. If you don't know, Andrew worked with a guy named Diamond that was from Nepal, I believe.
Yeah, and he said if you hit a man with your car, you want to reverse back over his body, making him full dead, because then you have to pay the medical bills his whole life.
Yeah, so you might as well kill him. Yeah, but you have a better chance of getting off for murder. And apparently in Manhattan, the best way to get away with murder in the United States is to hit a pedestrian with your car in Manhattan and murder, purposely do it, but you'll never be found at fault because everyone gets away with it. In Manhattan, which is where I got hit by a car, but it's not where I hit a man with my car. I've told that story many times on different things and probably on this podcast. But okay, Andrew, we took guesses as to what.
I'm sorry that it went
no,
out.
No, not when, as when, to what when, happened to you. We're guessing how the man died. Noah said a heart attack. I said Brenna probably wouldn't have thrown up from seeing a heart attack. I think shot in the face because you had made a joke about listening to Taylor Swift and seeing a man get shot in the face. So I'm guessing you just went with the thing that actually happened. So am I correct? Because I believe Noah, just there's no way that one is.
I love the my creativity knows
one bound. No,
one bound. Yeah. One bound.
Am I right?
No.
Oh, damn it. Okay. No, I actually don't think you're creative.
He got shot in the face twice.
Oh, God. Diamond. A million people died in 9/11. Okay. What happened?
Okay, Dorothea. So this is what happened. So I took Brennan to the bar called Bradley's. It was like 4 p.m. We were just going to get, appetizers. A drink and some food, overlook the water. We end up leaving there because it was too crowded. We go next door, get food. I come back. I valeted my car. Okay? I'm going to get my valet. I give the guy my ticket. I'm waiting for the car, and I look over.
Did you valet your car? Did you fly down there, or did you drive?
I rented a car.
Got it.
So we see this guy, and he's like, you know that like look where your eyes, they're just seeing through you. He's sweaty. He's like, he's
Florida
he's
meth all, man. Eyes.
Yeah, but not meth, but more alcohol and coke.
Yeah.
But that same feeling. Yeah. And but he looks like a normal guy. Like he's not like
dressed normally,
you know, a homeless guy.
His shoes are both on and tied.
Yeah, well, one's tied, one's Velcro.
Okay.
One bound. So I look over at Brenna and I go, dude, look how fucking this guy's gonna get his car. He's so fucking drunk. So we like took time to like look and analyze how drunk this guy
and
was.
Do
so we
like had a to connection. Actually prevent him getting in his car.
Yeah, I thought I would have to help him up. But so because he had a high truck. So anyway, so I'm waiting for him one bound. And he starts to walk off into the parking lot and he goes to grab like a white cone to like hold himself up. And the cone is like obviously not strong enough to hold him up. He throws his drink and he falls backwards and he hits the back of his head.
Whoa.
And I didn't even think he fell like comically slow, I thought. Yeah. And blood starts gushing out of the back, like just leak, like out of a movie, like leaking like a river. You
like
know,
a pool.
Just,
is he moving?
He's dead. He's out. Like, so this woman goes, so
how far are you away from this man?
This is the thing. I was only about 10 feet from him. I could have maybe caught the guy. I think.
Oh, that sucks, man. I'm sorry.
So he's bleeding out. My car comes. I'm like, can you move him a little? So
I
can leave.
I love how
like
you already have this punched up. Okay. Keep going.
So that's literally the only punchline. I swear. So then
no,
I,
it's not,
but I, but no, I swear. But part of me was like, should I just, can I drive around this guy? Is it bad? Is it bad karma? Is it bad? A bad look?
Wait, you got to tell me, like, are people around
okay,
him?
So I'm telling you. So I'm getting there. So I'd elect not to get the car. I think I'm going to run up to him. A woman runs up before me, checks his pulse and goes, he has no pulse. He has no pulse. Call 911. He has no pulse. Bleeding out his head. Out.
How old right? is this man?
Probably 45, I'm thinking. So another guy runs up, starts giving him CPR.
This
to
is
the
a
chest.
Parking lot?
Yeah, in the parking lot in front of Bradley's before on New Year's Eve. So, like, this is before the party even starts. Like, people won't even know this happened, you know, before, which is crazy. So, guy starts giving him CPR. Brenna starts crying hysterically, yelling, like, look at the blood. I can't. Fuck. I go, go, get away. Get away. Like, it was like this whole, like,
so
thing.
Dramatic.
So, she goes around the corner, right? Decide that, okay, this guy's got CPR. Like, I don't need to give him whatever CPR. I go to, you know, tell Brennan to stop being a pussy. No, I'm just kidding. That's another punch. But that was just a random punch.
I knew it
wasn't
good. I know it was no, random. But I listen, how do punches come to be?
So I punch Brenna. So no. And then I do a line of coke. Anyways, so she's throwing up in the trash can, like dry heaving, like so loud. And I'm like, babe, it's okay. You know, I think he's going to be all right. I think I heard someone say he might have a pulse. And then I was trying.
Are
to
you lying?
No, I did hear that from I walked to her. Then I walked back and then I came back again. So she's throwing up. People are walking by and I have to tell people, look, she saw a dead body. She's not drunk. Like, I'm not taking advantage. Like, I felt like weird in a way. Like, people were judging her.
Yeah.
And I wanted to protect her. Then this guy, I swear to God, this is the weirdest part of the story. A guy who's like a street cleaner who works for the city comes up and goes, what's going on with her? And I go, she's not drunk. A guy fell over there and he's out cold and they think he's dead and they have to revive him. And she saw it and she's throwing up. And I swear to God, the guy looks at me and goes, that happened to me 3 weeks ago.
What? I mean, so then, Florida.
Listen, so then he starts showing a video that was from the security cam of him falling over and dying on the ground. I swear to God on my life. Brett, I go, she's throwing up from a guy that just died. She doesn't need to see another guy that died.
He was showing her?
Yeah, me and her. While she's throwing up, she's looking up going, oh my God, what? I'm like, sir, get out. I'm sorry about your death, but get out of here. So then I go back and they said he has a pulse. And they end up taking him away in the ambulance. Hopefully he lived. I Googled it. And then I drove away in the valet. Still probably too early. But it was... So then the whole night, you know, I had to... Like, the car ride was intense. Like, she was really shook up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we played Dorothea, which is the other name for Andrew, and had a great time. You know? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was wild. It was wild.
Isn't it wild? Like, everyone that you see walking around will die someday. Like, we're pretty much seeing future dead people constantly. But and everyone will die, but we so rarely witness it in a way like that.
It was intense. I had to convince myself, like, oh, I've seen people get hit. Like, you do a weird mental gymnastics in your head to make it not as extreme.
Yeah, like, this is like MMA, but with, like, Dustin Poirier's fist is the concrete.
I swear to God, that, like, kind of went in my mind. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Celsius.
Yeah. Or, like, I was thinking about, like, a guy that goes to war and sees shit.
Yeah, and then comes back shell-shocked and...
To Nebraska with no phone and just has to think about it on a porch.
Oh, my God.
Wild. Anyways.
Wild.
Sorry.
No TikTok to distract. I mean, oh, that is... People, I mean, I've been on Reddit before and people have said, like, you know, they share things of, like, what's the most horrific thing that you've ever witnessed? And it's... People share things like this, and there was a Sam Harris interview that I listened to, or he was on did a podcast with Ricky Gervais that I listened to, and he was talking about seeing someone in, I think, like, Bangladesh get, like, he saw the aftermath of a guy get, like, splattered everywhere, and people were throwing up from how, like, and it was the worst thing he's ever seen in his life, and, like, people, like, there's listeners right now thinking of the thing that they saw that made them, I've never gotten viscerally sick, though, from seeing carnage. Noah, have you, did the kitten incident, we talked about something Noah witnessed, I don't want to relive it, but did you get, have you ever gotten ill from something that you didn't think would make you ill?
Not really. I can't really think of anything.
Yeah. It happens obviously because especially another human being, you just like the shock of seeing life being able to like be taken so quickly.
I think I thought of, like, because I've been to that bar hundreds of times.
That could have been you.
Yeah. There, I know. It's like a selfish kind of way to think of it. But then it makes me think, like, oh, I quit drinking 3 years. Like, that, yeah. I easily could have been that guy
a few years ago. I saw some article about a guy who jumped a turnstile in, you know, Queens or something. And... He just tripped a little bit and hit his head and died right there just from hitting his head. And the people in the Reddit subreddit were talking about how like how the human body can be so fragile yet so durable. Like there are people that have survived like plane crashes, yet there are other people that like trip and hit their head and it's like good night. So it's just so, it's so scary. I'm sorry you witnessed that. Is Brenna okay?
Yeah, she's all right. She's all right. I mean, luckily we had sex before that because...
Oh, my God.
It would have been tough.
For her to throw up twice that day.
Reverse.
Diamond. Am drip. Okay. How about we go to break really quick? And Andrew sighs deeply.
Oh, sorry. I was just trying to breathe.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Okay, we're back. Noah, what was your worst thing of your time off?
Nothing like Andrew's. I actually had a really good time off, so it's hard to think of it, but I guess I have a group of friends here that we all spend time together, and we always get together as a group, but one of the couple now is going through a really messy divorce. So just having to navigate the two friendships and, you know, like one of them is ousted from the group, and Avi and I are really good friends with this person. So it's just really complicated.
Yes.
And what do you do with that? Like when you get ousted, I mean, that's gotta, like, why do you pick the woman or the man? Did you pick?
You pick the person who you feel closest to.
Well, yeah. I'll say this.
That's true.
I hear both sides, and I can I can relate to the woman more because I've been in the position that she's in, and like where that anger comes from. But what I hear from the guy is that it is a little bit more sensible and like neutral. Mm. So when you hear one person gossiping or whatever, and the group is, you know, trying to comfort them, and then you hear the other side of the person who's being vilified, and they're not really, you know, it's relationships go bad. There's more to the story than what each person is saying.
Yes.
It's just, it just sucks. So.
That book Attached, I keep reading it and I'm learning how so many relationships are doomed and people don't even know it because they're opposite attachment styles, and there's truly no hope for those people in their, they will always be miserable, and they'll stay together and be miserable forever and constantly going on this roller coaster of good and bad, or they're going to break up unless they become aware of it and really worked. And it's, even if you work at it, it's kind of nearly impossible is what I'm learning from this book. It's pretty interesting and a little bit demoralizing, but as a woman who like isn't locked into anything right now, it's eye-opening, and it makes me feel like, oh good, I'm glad I got to read this book before I made any final decisions about my life, because this book has just helped me so much, and it's really helped me make decisions that I honestly would have never thought that I would make, that are ultimately going to be the best ones, I think, because I'm just seeing myself in this book so much in places that I almost skip the chapter because I go, I'm not going to be this. And then I start reading it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm this. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. No, I'm continuing to read it. Like you said, I'm not going to just do a third of it.
Good.
And I love it. And I'm realizing, I think I've said this before, old anxious attached is pretty avoidant recently, but I read yesterday that, you know, when you're in a relationship where it's like someone's anxious and someone's avoidant, like that can't work, but unless these things, and I was like, oh good, I'm all of the unlesses, which is acknowledging it, working on it, and a lot of avoidance. The problem with avoidant and attached and anxious attached is when the avoidant becomes avoiding the anxious, that triggers the anxious to become more anxious, which triggers the avoidant to become more avoidant. And then the avoidant becomes more avoidant. And so it's like they both trigger each other's worst qualities that detract the other one. And I, though, I'm avoidant in many ways, but when an avoidance always typically avoid reconciliation and talking about what's wrong. Because if you talk about what's wrong, you get closer to someone, and avoidance biggest fear is intimacy. And so they avoid addressing the issue. And I do not do that. And so I was like, okay, good. I don't have that avoidant quality. Does any of this make sense?
Is the avoidant person doing it to protect themselves or the other person?
Themselves.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because they're scared. Avoidants are scared of intimacy. And they want any kind of, and being, and losing their independence and feeling like they're going to be beholden to someone and they're not going to get alone time and all of these things. Like they think that a relationship is going to just strip them of their independence and their autonomy. And they also have a thing where they think that there's better people out there. They just haven't met them yet.
Yeah.
And they glamorize everyone they haven't met. And they also focus on the like when they're in a negative place with their partner, they can't remember any of the good. It's like they just rearrange their mind so that the person they're with that is needing them too much, the anxious person who is coming on too strong because they're anxious attached. And the only way anxious attached people feel better is if the avoidant person makes them feel better by like being, is if someone secure goes, listen, I hear you're anxious, but this is the truth of the matter. And I'm with you. Don't worry. And avoidant people cannot do that and won't do that. Mm. So the anxious attached never gets to feel better and is always going to be more anxious. And it's going to explode. And then they break up. And then they always come back together because they need each other to validate their internalized views of themselves, which is, avoidant people need a needy person to validate that the world is against them and wants them to wants to take from them, wants them to be theirs, wants to capture them. And needy people need someone who's avoiding them to validate their belief that they are unlovable. So they'll always come back together. It's such a fucking, it's also the book I was reading called The Human Magnet Syndrome about narcissists and codependence, which is, I guess, another way of saying avoidant and, anxious. But anyway, my bottom was that monologue I just went on. My bottom moment was I got my first UTI over the trip. Thank you. I'm a real woman now. I was very constipated the whole trip. I literally did not poop for like 5 days. And we were eating like these rich, thick, gourmet meals. And I was just like, just weighed down by like oil soaked veggies. And I was looking at pictures of myself on like on the dinner before New Year's on the 30th. And we, Bill Maher and I and Chris Reed, kid of Kid and Play, took a picture. And I look pregnant in all the photos, and I was sucking in as much as possible. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, oh my God, I am so constipated. And I don't know if the constipation led to the UTI or the UTI caused the constipation. But Noah, have you ever had a UTI?
Yeah, I have.
Does it feel like you need to shit out of your vagina and you can't?
Yes, like a constant burning pressure. That's what I, and I have bleeding too.
Yes. And I was pissing blood clots.
Yes.
No joke. Oh,
yeah, that's man. What it is.
Like I thought, I literally was wiping and I saw blood and I'm like, is this coming from my asshole? Because I've never bled from my like pee. Like it didn't make sense that this blood could be coming from anywhere else. Cause I was like digging up my vag hole to see if it was like period blood and it wasn't. And I'm like, it's from my ass. And then I'm like, but nothing's coming out of there. I was pissing out of my tiny pee hole. Blood tissue. It looked like I was like a miscarriage out of my vagina, like in my
did
urethra.
You have discharge? Did you have any discharge?
It was just like pee. Like my pee was bloody, and like not like I ate beets, but like blood. And I was just.
So what did you do?
The thing was, it would only flare up at night, and then I would just like cry and like be like, oh, and then I would wake up in the morning, and everything would be fine. And then I would still not be shitting, but I would be like, oh, it would be. And then at night it would flare up again. And then I felt like it went away. And my friend Corey that I met on the trip was like, bitch, it does not go away. Like, there's no way. And I'm like, yeah, my body just healed itself. Blah, 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 blah. And then I came back to LA and I finally got to poop and I felt so much relief. And then I went to Six Flags the other day and I went with my friend Corey that I met on the trip and Chris and Carlisle and her boyfriend Chase. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, dude, go to an urgent care or just call, like, email your doctor. Do you have a doctor? I'm like, I think so. And so I emailed my doctor and was like, I have a UTI. It's my first one. I'm like, there's like bloody tissue coming out of my puss. And she was like, oh, I'll just get you some. So now I'm on antibiotics. I've been on them for 2 days and it was gone after the first pill. Like it's fine now, but I got to finish them, you know? So that's the worst.
Sounds pretty bad.
Because I had to be in like a swimsuit and I'm just like, have so much, like being constipated, it sucks so much. But thank God for the fact that so on this trip, I was with my lover and we enjoy a type of sex that I need to have, you know, a douche for. And I forgot it. I brought all my toys, but I forgot my douche. And I'm like, fuck, like I can't have anal sex if I don't have that thing. And so right before we left for the trip, we were in LA for a couple days. The morning of, we walked over to the Hustler store and bought like this anal douche kit. And thank God I fucking had that because I was in such pain. I couldn't poop. We just didn't ever go to the pharmacy or anything. And I was like, it's going to come as soon as I get on like, you know, America, like, a, you know, the contiguous United States soil.
Mainland.
Yeah. And it didn't. And then I was like, in the middle of the night one night, I was like, maybe if I, because I know that when I use that, I can get everything out. And I was like, what if I did this? And oh my God, it saved my life. If I wasn't so good at it, I would have never attempted to do that. I would have just been in pain and waited for like a laxative to run through my system, which would have been runny and disgusting. Instead, I just squirted water up there for like, you know, 20 minutes and got everything out. And I was like, I'm a new woman. God, it was amazing. Being constipated sucks. You feel like there's like a fucking, you know, what's it called? A compost pile in your, like, it just feels like thick. Like there's a corpse of like.
Like
food.
A landfill.
Yeah, there's like a landfill of poop in you. It's so gross. I felt like, I think when Johnny Cash.
Were there vultures
Johnny Cash
flying around you?
John Wayne, yeah. When John Wayne was dissected or like autopsied, they found him like 60 pounds of like shit in his colon. Like 60 pounds of compacted shit.
What?
And I felt like John Wayne.
Make my day.
Yeah. Okay. So Andrew, top break moment.
I had a good amount of tops. I would say moving in with Brenna now has been a top, but one of the tops that was kind of sad too. My mom was in the hospital the whole time we were in Florida with a UTI. She was fucking a lot. Stop. No. She has COPD and she had a flare up with her lungs. So she went to the emergency room the night before we went down to Florida. So the whole time she's in the hospital. There's a lot of other drama that like went down with my dad, whatever. But we don't have to get into that. My mom eventually gets out of the hospital the day before. Two nights before we leave. So like five nights into the trip.
Oh, good. I'm glad she's out.
She got out.
She broke out.
She broke out. They were like, ma'am, you need your oxygen. She's like, I'm fucking... She started skipping. I don't know. She was excited to see me. So
could you go visit her or no?
I did visit her with my little brother. And it was an interesting visit because my mom's on steroids. Like a prednisone or something. So it's like... I don't know. I just found it weird that like steroids is for a guy to hit an 800-foot home run or to have my mom eat a sandwich. Like I just find it like those are like the two things. And my mom was like sitting there, and
what
she's
does
like,
steroids do to your mom? Like, why is that like, of note?
She's amped, but she also has no energy. So it's like a so she's like talking, but she's also like barely breathing. So it's like, but she has energy to talk. So she honestly, she sounded like the Godfather, like payment, like that, like that was the vibe. And she was sitting in a chair. Like it was interesting, whatever. So we go to the hospital, me and my little brother, cause of COVID, it was hard to like get in there. So she eventually gets out of the hospital and, I want to introduce her to Brenna. But I have to go to a hockey game that night with my dad, and I don't want Brenna to meet my mom without me for the first time.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing about whether or not I should go to the hockey game or whatever. So anyway, long story short, sorry. My mom gets out.
Did you go to the hockey game?
I did, but Brenna didn't meet me. I went and saw my mom. Brenna, I was like, look, she'll meet you tomorrow. We could wait a day.
So did Brenna just stay in her room?
Yeah.
When your mom but came?
Huh?
Your mom came home and Brenna just didn't come to meet her?
Because she just didn't want to, like, I would have had to, like, leave her there without, I don't know. It's kind of awkward to meet someone's parent without.
But was anyone there or was your mom just there alone?
No, my brother and it was a weird thing. It was a weird situation.
Yeah.
But, so, which led to a fight about, over GPS, which wasn't about GPS. That's a whole nother thing. Sorry.
I love, that's another thing in Attached is like couples get in fights and it's never about what the thing is.
It was so funny. I asked her where Walgreens was and she put it in her phone and it was like 2.8 miles. And then I realized, wait, I know where a fucking Walgreens is from my brain. But she's like, let's just go to that one. And I was like, well, let's just use my brain. She's like, well, that's only a mile farther. And I was like, well, can I use my brain? Like that was... But the fight was over whether or not I should go to the hockey game, really.
And
so,
you wanted to use your brain.
Yeah.
And you weren't when you went to the hockey game.
Not at all. So anyways, we made up. It ended up being great. But my mom gets out of the hospital. I go over there. It's just me and my brother. We have to go to the bank to, like, talk about, like, weird shit about, like, my mom dying and, like, money being beneficiary. Like, this whole, like... I don't know. It makes things real, you know? Like,
yeah.
And my mom wasn't able to shower in the hospital for like 4 days. And her hair is like frizzled. And my mom loves to look, you know, pretty. And you forget, like, a woman just wants to, even when she's dying and like, and at her lowest point, she still, you know, you want to like, it's like hard to talk about.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Andrew.
Oh, boy. I promised myself I would cry.
No, it's all right. It's so hard. I'm sorry.
So,
yeah.
That's okay. Weird. Yeah. Anyhow, I haven't bit my nails in a while. Yeah, like a UTI. So I end up, even in sadness, callback, ham drip. So
your eyes are ham dripping. No, it's
that's
sweet.
What people call my nipples.
Are you just drip. Thinking about your mom in the ocean? You think about how your mom will never get to go to a hockey game again? Something she never went to in the first place.
She loved the Rangers. No, so my mom goes, will you help wash my hair in the sink?
Because
she can't even shower. Yeah. And I swear there was just a moment where I was like, my whole life, me and my mom never like, you know, because of drinking and like whatever, like we never like, when she would touch me like later in life, like rub my back or anything, like I could never hug her because I felt like, I don't know. There just wasn't a connection because I wanted her to be better for herself, and I think it caused me to be avoidant and attached.
So. Yeah, and you have a lot of anger about that. It's like, too late, bitch. I'm not saying that about your mother, but like I felt that way too of like, don't get close to me now. Like, you should have done this when I was little.
And it just feels awkward. It just doesn't feel like... And so my initial reaction when my mom's like, can you wash my hair? And her hair is like frizzled and like... You know, like really, like
that's not a word.
I'm like, I don't. Even, yeah, she's completely frizzled out, and I'm like, she's on the frizz, and I go. My initial reaction was like, oh my god, I gotta fucking touch my. Like, what is she doing, asking me this? Like, and I'm so selfish, so fucking selfish, man. So, anyways, I fucking start washing her hair. And I fucking put the shampoo in and I'm washing her and I'm knowing that this is making her so fucking happy, this little thing. And I put conditioner in and I'm combing her hair. And I swear to God, like there was like a moment and like it could be like in a movie or like whatever where it's like, oh, I can help her. And like I don't have this guard up because mentally I'm okay now in a way.
Sweet.
It was a lot. It's still a lot. And like just combing her hair. And then Brenna cut her nails for her. And it was like this moment of like where we, I'm looking over at Brenna, like giving my mom a manicure. And it was just like, okay, this is fucking why relationship shit is fucking amazing.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I'm so happy for you. That's that's a lot, dude. Thank you for sharing that. It's so sweet.
Whew.
Good job, dude. This is like all really.
It's fun.
Like,
yeah,
it's good closure stuff.
Yeah.
It's really hard though. So
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But then I went to the bank and I, you know, found out how much money I was getting. I was like, that's worth it for the hair shampoo. You know? Okay. Jam drip. What's your top one, Noah? You see a guy die?
That's not my top one. My top one is very similar to Andrew.
Oh, yeah? What?
Yeah. So, you know, I talked about it on the podcast and I had a lot of besties reach out, which was so nice and sweet. And I realized a lot of other people have a disconnection with a parent. I'm not the only one in this world. But I had been wanting to use the holiday time as a, you know, just like an impetus to reach out to my mom and see how she's doing after not speaking to her for a very long time. And I did it. You know, I wished her Happy New Year. And I said, you know, can we chat this weekend? And it was really good. It was a very good conversation. And I, this is crazy. But, you know, I had been thinking about this for a while now, probably over a month. You know, like I got to do this. I mean, since the show, it was just like burning. It was just like burning my chest. Like I have to do something. I don't feel good about this. And I had this like nerve pain in the back, like in my back, like I don't know what it is, like wing or whatever. Like if I would have wings, it's where a wing would be.
Yeah.
Just like a just a nerve pain. And then my shoulder hurt and my neck hurt. I've just been carrying that for the last couple of weeks. And after that phone call, it didn't completely go away, but it's like already 50% gone.
Wow. Wow. And did the phone call feel better, worse, what you expected?
Better. Much better. I mean, you know, I have to like think a lot about going into it. What information am I going to divulge? How am I going to direct the conversation if it starts going to a negative place? You know, you have to do a lot of like mental gymnastics. So my mom's always been very good at being creative and house decorating. She's just so talented. She has such good taste. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to ask her for help. So it'll give her like a little bit of a purpose. I'll be receptive to that information because I know it's going to be good. And it was great.
Oh, it's so great when the pattern here is like, we can do better than our parents, not to like be like, see mom, fuck you. Like I'm going to be different. But like, that's why you have kids, is to be better than like you and to heal some of the stuff that you're not ready to, you weren't equipped to do. And like, it falls on the child to become the adult in the situation. And both of you exhibited that
thanks.
In those stories. So good job to both of you.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing those things, because it's not easy to share that stuff that like can unexpectedly get you into like emotions that are uncomfortable on a comedy podcast. So I know the besties love you for it. My top moment was seeing a whale, which I posted on my Instagram. And it was, so Chris, my ex-boyfriend who I'm dating and who I honestly like, we almost broke up 2 nights before Christmas. We literally were on the phone breaking up, finally being like, we're not doing this anymore. And it was really just a bad, we were going to therapy and we had a really bad therapy session. And we didn't have time in that therapy session to like put a bow on it or like just kind of put a little, like even like a cork in it. And we just like were open wounds. And for us to like get through hard times, we need to like talk for hours and feel really understood. And we always come out so much better, but we didn't have time. And so we didn't talk for a couple days and literally broke up on the phone. And then we just couldn't get off the phone. Like, because once we said goodbye on the phone call, we knew it would be like over. And then we were like, let's just, why, like one of us gave in and then the other gave, you know. And he ended up going to Hawaii with me on this trip with Bill Maher. And it was just like, I don't know. I think that, and maybe I could, you know, who knows what I'll say in the future, but I think that I have in the past like felt, because Chris was the only person I've ever dated really like seriously in this way and like is actually an available person, the only available person that isn't a complete alcoholic that I've dated, that didn't have a girlfriend, didn't live in a different city, like he's that, I thought, you know, I couldn't have possibly got it right the first time, like there's just no way. And you know, we're not perfect and all of these things, and there's been issues where I'm like, I can't date someone who does this. You know, I have all these hard lines. Like, I think that I projected a lot of perfection onto other people or like other relationships. And I'm like, I want a guy like that. Or, man, I'm looking at that guy on Instagram and that relationship. I'm like, he wouldn't do the things that Chris does in my relationship. Like, or I have like a friend. I'm like, oh, the way I get along with her. Like, if I could just like, if you know, that could be, I want a relationship that's like that friendship, but like also with sex. And like, the thing is, like, what my relationship may lack in the way that I look at some of my friendships is that my friendships or people's relationships that I look at, I don't know what they're like intimately, but I do know what that's not fair to compare that. And I think that I know, but I don't fucking know. And what I did realize on this trip is that I have someone who, like, although isn't, we clash a lot on things, like overall this person is always willing to, is now, I know, and wasn't in the past, but is like willing to work on anything and is willing to kind of, honestly, I have the thing that I always wanted, that I heard Will Smith has with Jada Pinkett Smith, which is like, you can do anything and there are no deal breakers. Like, I'll never leave you. Like, we can get through anything. And like, that doesn't mean he's not going to get upset with me and we're going to have weird moments. But we found this new way of communicating that I originally came up with Kirsten when I was in like fifth grade. We like were best friends since fourth grade, inseparable from the second we met. And we had this like shorthand speak like that we just were real. It was the first like relationship where I was like, I just don't have to be anything but completely myself. I never have to act like I'm in a good mood. I never have to act like I'm in a, like, I'm completely real. And one time we got into like a little fight about something. It was like our first fight. And we went to the Limited in West County Mall, and we were in like fifth grade, and we were looking through shirts, and it was after a fight. We had patched it up, but we hadn't actually addressed what was really going on. And so we were in this weird area that I think everyone can relate to, where you are just being really like overly like gentle and nice with each other, but you're still like laden with resentment, but you're just tiptoeing. And Kirsten and I both, I remember Kirsten might have been the first one to call me on it. And she's like, because we were looking at some sweatshirts or something. And I was like, isn't this cute? This is so cute. And she's like, yeah, oh my gosh. Well, I'll try this one on. Do you want, like, what size do you want? Like, we were just being so overly nice. And
yes. And
one of us goes, we're acting like new friends. And we just kept going, new friends. And we called out the awkwardness by saying, new friends. Because this little, like, fake, like, oh, so like, yeah, like, do you want to go to dinner later? Like that kind of like dumb talk you have with your boyfriend after you're like in a fight. And it's helped me so much. I told Chris about this and he's like, wow, you guys were like funny even back then. Like, that's such an astute observation for like fifth graders. And I was like, we really were. Like, new friends was the first like kind of bit we ever did. And now Chris and I do new friends. And the other night, that's where we get into trouble, is when we fight. The awkwardness before we go, what the fuck is this about? Or like, I'll go, hey, I'm really sorry I'm late. Like, I was running late. And he's just like, it's fine. And then we're in this like new friends. Like, did you call the Uber? Yeah, they're running late. Oh, I hate this app. And like, we're just having this fucking elevator small talk. And last night we got into like a little thing. And I was just like, new friends. You're new friendsing me. What's really going on? Like, I know you're upset. What happened? And it just like cut through. And he like laughed because he knew what new friends meant. It was just like a beautiful way to like cut through the tension. Anyway, I really like fell in love with my ex-boyfriend over this trip, because on the way to Hawaii, he was like, I thought maybe we could go whale watching. And I'm like, I didn't even know we could go whale watching in Hawaii. Like, I think of that as like an Alaska thing. And there's humpback whale watching in Hawaii. We're in the middle of the season. We go on a private charter that he sets up, and it's just me and him on this boat, and we see a humpback whale. And on the, they're everywhere in this bay. There's hundreds of them, and we see little spouts coming up. But you can't get closer than a football field unless you get close enough, and then they swim over to you, which doesn't happen. Except it did happen. We got mugged, which is the actual term for it. We were mugged by a humpback whale. It was circling our boat and obsessed with us. And I said on the way out, I go, he's been doing this 25 years. I go, what's the coolest thing that's happened out here? And this guy was like, you know, the best thing is when I've had passengers like dunk their heads over and put their snorkels in, and I can hear them squealing because they see the whale like up, like they can spot the whale like in the water and not from like far away, because the water's too murky to see it if you put your head in, if we're far away from what the normal distance is. And fuck you guys, I was dunking my head in so much. I made eye contact with a fucking wild humpback whale, which I've been obsessed with whales forever. It was such a majestic, magical moment. And this whale, like, I felt connected to it. I felt like it saw me. And these whales are only there to breed and give birth. They come all the way down from Alaska. There's no food in this bay in Hawaii, like in this, channel. There's only fucking fighting over females, which they never fight to the death. They always help each other out. They like kind of bump each other, but they'll never fight to the death. They're very gentle. And there's wingmanning. They help each other fuck. And there's birthing. And then they get pregnant and they go all the way back up, and then they give birth up there. They give birth down here and they go all the way up with their babies because it's safer in these warmer waters and there's not killer whales and there's no predators in these waters and there's no food. They're just starving to death here. And like, it was just so fucking interesting. And he put a microphone in the water and it was just like, You could hear all the whale activity. It was like you were at a fucking stadium of how hundreds of whales just like. It was just, it was so cool. I was blown away, and it was only because like Chris knew I cared about whales and he knows that I don't really like adventures, but he picked one that was like perfect for me. And I just had the best trip with him ever. And I had the best trip with Bill Maher and all his friends. It was just a great trip. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll do a little bit of a Reddit dump.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Let's do a Reddit dump.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump. All right. I hope I have some good stuff. Oh, okay. So this was in the subreddit Sex, and it said, I let my husband suck a booby to help with his occasional anxiety before bed. I told a friend, and she shamed me hard. So this woman is said that it started with my husband when I was pumping breast milk for our kid. I had a bad clog. I guess she was wearing Crocs. And he sucked it out for me. Over time, it progressed into a nightly routine. I'd finish my last pump of the day, he'd clean up, and then we'd go to bed, and he'd nurse for like 10 minutes. This helped soften my breast so I could sleep comfortably. Eventually, I stopped producing milk, and our routine ended. Then something terrible happened. He had a loss in the family that devastated him. He had a lot of anxiety in the night and would be upset. One night, I was cuddling him to help calm him down, and he was nestled between my breasts. I could feel his breath and lips against me. He started to kiss them, and then I kind of instinctively lifted myself up, and so his mouth was aligned with my nipple. He took the sign and started suckling. He almost instantly calmed down and was able to get to sleep soon after. So this started another trend in our relationship. It often leads into other sexual activities, but sometimes it's a quick suck and we go to sleep. I told my friend the above and was essentially shamed to hell. We are being weird and juvenile, she said. He shouldn't need to suck your breast to go to sleep. It made me feel terrible. What do you think? Do other couples have different opinions or practices? I was thinking Andrew probably would be into that.
I started salivating. I was like, oh my God, this is like, I want my binky and it's your tits.
I mean, wouldn't hate for someone to suck on my tit like a baby, like a man. I know that's so weird, but like there's something about it where I was like,
I wonder how long he does it for, and like, what if they have another baby and then they're fighting over the nipple?
No, this seems like a bedtime thing that like,
yeah.
And it leads to sex usually.
I love it. I think it's like romantic. I really do. I don't think it's weird. I really don't. I mean,
I think it's weird, but I don't think I would judge anyone for it.
I mean,
it's weird in the sense that I don't think a lot of people do it, but I think, more people should.
I think it could be weird if he's like puts a diaper on and then like she puts fucking baby powder on his asshole and then she's like, I want my bottle. You know, that would be weird. But if it's just a guy who just needs to suck a little bit, to like sucking a thumb, and you can provide that, fuck yeah. You could be a manly nipple sucker.
I think so too. Noah?
Well, I don't approve of sex shaming anyone for whatever weird kink they have, even if they're wearing a diaper. But I have this...
yeah, exactly. Same.
And I know that you do too.
I went too far.
I know it was a joke. But I have a weird... like fantasy where I want my nipples like sucked so hard that they turn like black and blue, like there's like bruises around them.
Wait,
is that weird?
You gotta you gotta get Avi into this.
I haven't explicitly told him this. I'm sharing it with you first, but
I think
I've
this
tried.
Has got to be a normal,
you heard it here,
fetish, like, because sometimes I get my tits sucked so hard I feel like they're gonna have bruises, and so I know that they're guys like to do that, and babies leave bruises. Like, it's a very, just because a baby does it and we don't sexualize children obviously doesn't mean it's can't also be sexual, and
like an adult,
and that
thing.
Doesn't mean it's wrong, I don't think.
Yeah, I think you just gotta ask them.
Nipples suck till they're black and blue, Noah. You gotta get it.
Okay, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, let him know. I think you should. You split his ball sack with your nose.
Yeah. And then say, hey baby, why don't you rough up my nips? And then I don't think he'll think it's that weird. Just be like, suck harder. No,
from
harder.
Sucking them, like, I feel like they'd have to be sucked like really, really hard for like a good while.
Yeah. So maybe that's what you want. And maybe he would be into that. Like, you don't even know. Like,
what's his favorite condiment?
Chocolate.
Throw it
okay,
on.
Okay, there we go. Throw it on. I was saying that I was so constipated because my boobs were huge over in Hawaii, and I was like,
Hawaii.
I love that I say it weird. And I was saying that I was, because Chris was like, your boobs, Jesus Christ, and I was like,
it's
I think
shit.
I'm backed up. I was like, I got shit tits. I really ruined my tits for him. I was like, they're filled with shit. It's all the way.
You got shitty
so
titties.
Like, I got those shit tits. Those full shit tits.
Oh, fuck. My bed is here. Fuck.
Your bed is here?
Yeah.
We can end the show without you. Peace out.
Here, no, I'm not going to hang up. Here, I'll just, it's fine.
Are you sure?
Tell 5 minutes.
Okay, so there's I saw on Ask Women, the subreddit says, what's one tiny daily habit you have that makes your life run a bit smoother? I was just wondering what your guys would say, but I want to read some of these. This is obviously just women. This was actually something that a bestie wrote into me that we talked about on the show that helped them. But this person says the 2 minute rule, originally read it in Getting Things Done, which I guess is a book. The rule is anything that takes less than 2 minutes, do it straight away. Writing it down and then doing it later will take longer. Love that. Someone says my kitchen must be spotless before bed. Ideally, I set the coffee pot too. Someone says I make my bed as soon as I wake up. What about you guys? Anything come to mind that you're like, oh, drinking water in the morning?
Yeah. Making a smoothie takes less time than you think. Like, we always think, oh, we got to get all the ingredients. I just throw it in there. I started drinking them the last 2 days.
Yeah,
very simple. Food prep. That shit's easy. Dividing my clothes. Like, that was a big thing from moving to the new place. Of being
dividing
like, I
your clothes.
Like, what could go to Goodwill and what do I need? And you just like be like, I can't get rid of things. I have so much attachment to it. And then you're like, oh, that took 4 minutes to be like, I don't need 25% of my wardrobe anymore.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Simple things like that you build up in your head.
Yes.
Because I think you're so efficient with your like time and stuff.
Yeah, I think that I usually am. I think that being reasonable about how long things will take is a helpful thing of like just always add on more time than you think, or just at least start paying attention to how long things actually take. I think that one thing I do now that I think is great is not doing all or nothing things. Like, and I think that goes into the 2 minute thing. Like, there are so many times that I go, I can't work on that thing because I don't have time to do it all. Well, the whole job is going to be 7 hours. Why would I ever think I could do it all in one? Like, but that's how I work. I do things in 7 hour chunks and then I kill myself and I dread it. And cleaning your room, like, you can't maybe have time to clean your whole room, but you have time to do one, like, 5 minute thing. Put one jacket away, put like one little thing, straightening one little area can give you like a sense of, it can spread much easier, and just not doing things in increments and not being so obsessed with perfection and having all or nothing. And I think that's helped me a lot.
Cause I want it all.
Or nothing at all. That's how I live my life. Okay. This is from Today I Learned. Today I learned there's an 18% average mortality rate for catch-and-release fishing, with the rate varying significantly between species. So on average, if you're doing catch-and-release and you feel like a fucking hero, almost 20% of those fish, 1 in 5, are going to die just because you caught them in the first place. Good to know, I think. Because I think people just go, oh, we're such a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I just feel like they're probably going to die pretty soon anyways.
What?
Get eaten by
They'll
a whale.
They'll get eaten.
No. That's not how it works.
How do they track the fish? Like, all fish look almost exactly identical. How do they know which fish?
Well, because they're experts.
What did they send out a census?
And they probably are like,
a census.
I don't know, but you guys, just it's good to know. Don't pride. Just no one should fish. I always feel bad for fishes that have their, like, it's traumatizing to have a fucking hook in your mouth. A lot of times you can't get it out. You have to rip. Like, fish feel pain, by the way. So anything you're telling yourself about fishing and how it's like, oh, I'm not keeping it, like, well, then you're tossing it back in. It's going to die. And I know it's going to die anyway, but so are all of us. So should we just all hook ourselves in the mouth? Like, no. All right. This is from Ask Reddit. What's your I fucking hate this song?
Oh. Thong song?
Mine is Moves Like Jagger.
Wait,
I don't. Moves Like Jagger.
But
what is
your
I fucking hate this song?
Oh. Yeah, I hate that. I mean, that one song, somebody I used to know, went from good for one day to the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
Oh,
I don't
know
why.
Someone said the TikTok song, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. That one.
I don't know that one.
I don't like that song, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
You know, oh my God. I feel like that's, I would describe that as the only kind of music you listen to.
Unless it's your nipples like that would and be really my... hard.
That's so funny. Fancy Like by Walker Hayes. I don't know that. Fight Song. People are saying Fight Song a lot. Uh-oh, I love Fancy Fight Song.
Fancy Like's terrible. It's this new country song. I'm going to Applebee's on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, getting drunk Ugh. With my friends on a Thursday.
Oh my God, everyone's saying Fancy Like on this Ask Reddit. Yeah, I'm an island boy. People hate that song. That doesn't count. These don't count as songs to me. Fight Song. Why are people saying Fight Song? I love that song. This is my fight song.
I liked it until that.
Someone said, oh, ha ha.
Sounded you know like the a whale TikTok song underwater. That's like,
oh, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Shape of You and Baby Shark. I'm in love with Shape of You.
I love Shape of
people
You.
People hate that song. I've heard that a lot. Wow. People sing Fight Song because it's the cancer anthem.
Oh.
Girls Like You by Maroon 5. I kind of like that song. All right. God, it's all the same songs. It's so funny. All right.
The ones that are played the most.
Final thought.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. But no, there are some songs that are played a lot that I don't mind.
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah, you're not wrong. This was True Off My Chest. This was from the subreddit True Off My Chest. I threw a Christmas party a week ago and no one other than my mom showed up. A few of my coworkers offered explanations when I asked it about it the next time I saw them, but no one else even gave me an excuse. It sucks, too, because I spent more money than I should have on the decorations and food. Then spent the night staring out the window waiting for guests, only for no one but my mom to show up after I called her crying about it. The whole thing hurts more than I can ever admit. Oh.
That sucks. I mean, what were their excuses, I wonder? I mean, did they say they were going to go? Like, why did... Ugh.
It makes me so fucking sad. And we've all been there of like just feeling like no one cares and we're being left out and like trying too hard, like getting dressed up for something that no one else cared about, or like it's just such a lonely feeling. I'm sorry for anyone.
I had the opposite happen.
Too many people showed
up. Wait, you didn't have a party and everyone showed up?
Well, I had a party and too many people showed up. And some of those people, like, I had spent so much money on, like, cold cuts. And, like, this is at a time where I had, like, no money. But I really, like, wanted to make it a nice party for people. And people came in and they put, like, their cigarettes out on the cold cuts. It just, like, went totally out of control.
Oh, my God.
And I had a similar feeling at the end. I felt so, like, violated.
Interesting.
So maybe
both ways.
The silver lining is she didn't have to clean up all the shit that would have happened.
Yeah, she had to clean up her decorations that were not even used, and like all the food. It's such a lonely feeling for people who don't have friends.
Yeah, if you
don't have friends, it is not your fault. It is a lucky thing to have friends. Like, it's just you're in the right place at the right time. Some people like live in areas where everyone sucks, and you're there because of what. Like, it's not your fault if you don't have friends, especially if you're listening to this podcast. You're cool as fuck, and I really mean that. Like, you can't enjoy this podcast if you're not like someone who's emotionally intellectual, and maybe I'm patting myself on the back, but I just believe that to be true.
I think like I bring it back so other people could enjoy it.
What'd you say?
Like, I'm not that emotionally like,
yes, you are. You cried on the show today, buddy.
No, nah, never happened.
Oh yeah.
You cried. Also, can we talk about Larry David tomorrow to tease it?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was going to talk about just how that party thing reminded me of, I'm watching Arrested Development again because on the trip I was with one of the, like the...
Attorney Ba-ba-ba?
I was with one of the writers of Arrested Development who wrote the first season and subsequent episodes with Mitchell Hurwitz, and who was the creator. And he was like, they met on the Golden Girls staff, and then Mitchell started, created Arrested Development and wrote with Jim Vallelie. Like, they two wrote it, and his name's Jim Vallelie, and he's amazing. He's like the best guy ever. I love him so much. He's so funny, so cool. I got all my Arrested Development questions answered. And I'm going back and watching the first season with Chris, and we're having so much fun. But that party thing reminded me of like just Lucille Bluth, Yeah, the mother, the matriarch. They have a surprise party and no one is there constantly because all of her children like hate her, and like everyone on the show is just detestable and hilarious. But it's such a fucking great show, and I can't believe I know one of the creators now. It's just or like, you know, one of the main two writers.
Makes me think that show is like if Succession had more of a sense of humor.
Absolutely. And I even said that Lindsay Bluth, Portia de Rossi, reminded me of the girl. What's her name?
Oh, not Stu.
Shiv. Is that right? Shiv?
It is Shiv.
God, that reminds me of a joke from Arrested Development where the father is in prison and he says, you know, I'm worried about in the showers. Like, I could get strangled or something worse. And Buster goes, or like stabbed. And he goes, in a way. Or something like that. It was so good. I just love that show. It's packed. It's
so
chock
good.
Full of jokes. And like, you can watch it over and over. And like, I've seen this season 4 times and I don't remember things. Like, it's so nice to have a bad memory for stuff like this. So much more to talk about, including a run-in with Larry David and more than a run and a hangout with Larry David, private jets, whale watching,
oh my God,
constipation, Six Flags, and much more this week on the Nikki Glaser podcast. Don't be cur out there. And
Jackson Hole.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been studying over the weeks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.